precision. Can you paint? Can you draw? Can you model in clay? If you can, then your day is just 6 weeks today.
Perkin stories for little old you. So, kind of gather on close like now and lean your little old heads right close to me and listen. Now, my first story I call Yogi Bear and the Missing Elephant. Well, sir, once upon a time, I start out that way because, I mean, all good stories do, right? Right.
And what does that make you?
Once upon a time, there was a famous park, see? It was known as Jellystone Park. Famous for its trees, its tall mountains, and, of course, its geysers. Them upside-down waterfalls, you know. What comes right up out of the ground. But the most popular landmark in Jellystone Park was a fantastical formation light. Called Elephant Rock. But how that there fantastical rock formation happened is even stranger. It's the story of an honest to hush puppy elephant what disappeared. Smack dab right there in Jellystone Park. Never to be seen again.
Anywhere.
It all began one beautiful spring morning when a circus truck come a-barreling along the road to Jellystone Park with a poor little chubby elephant caged up in the back. When all of a sudden, one of them there guards looked back toward the cage. What was that? Oh, hold it, Joe. The elephant. He's gone. No, I'm not. Well, we gotta form an elephant posse or something. You think maybe he ducked into the park?
Search me. Let's ask the ranger.
Pardon me, Mac. You see an elephant go by here?
What color? Stripe? Checkered? Polka dot?
Everybody's a comic.
You mind if we have a look around, Mac?
Be my guest. Always happy to oblige.
Give me all the times of this game.
What color? Stripe, checker, polka dot?
These parts bug me. Too many trees.
Who needs trees?
All them bar circus goers could sing with trees. But you know what? Behind one of them was that poor pachyderm. Just as scared as all get out and just awaiting his chance. Circus turned their heads. He was off and running. There he goes!
Follow that elephant.
Pearl! Pearl, you pesky pachyderm! He just disappeared.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm the elephant for the trees.
Well, there they was, looking all around. Now, little old elephant was playing another trick. He was hiding himself all over with leaves and branches and making out like he was a tree.
I gotta start wearing bright vocals.
Likewise.
And when they both turned their heads for a minute, zip! Our little old elephant shot for the nearest hiding place, which just happened to be...
Changing your image, darling.
Guess what?
While you're at it.
Yep.
Why don't you have Yogi Bear's cave.
Well, a boy, you could say how many grips.
I asked you first.
Elephant,
I ordered this and I don't want it.
Zipped inside that there cave and was hiding under Yogi's bed.
I'd like a finger sandwich,
with old Yogi sound asleep in it.
And I'd like a glass of cold gravy with a head.
While outside... Then one of your own. Were
are you still paying tribute to Ringo Starr?
How could we lose
would you like a pinch in the mouth?
Now think about it.
Faith, Melvin.
Don't hurt yourself.
And while you do, well, I'd like to order 12 box crackers and a couple of mustard
for sure.
Crisp.
Yes. That little scared elephant was just trembling and shaking under Yogi's bed.
Come on, let's get out of this night club.
Meditation is a method of discovering hidden aspects of the world or of oneself, or of transcending reality in order to reach a higher spiritual state. One method of accomplishing this is to concentrate for long period of time on a specific theme or subject, or on a meaningless word, a mantra. A mantra is meaningless in and of itself, but it has a magical, mystic value. I will give you your own mantra. But remember, this is a personal mantra, and you mustn't tell anyone else what it is. Your secret mantra is Un Yeliman. Un Yeliman. Really, man? Not here, no. Very good. Now, first, sit on the floor, put on your bed, your foot crossed, your hand in your lap. Sitting up straight, deep, breathe and relax, letting the mind wander forever, as it usually does. And where do you find space in your thinking when seems sort of quiet, start saying the mantra. Un element. Stress the first syllable very hard. And keep saying it over and over. And if you're having to scratching or to move, you may do so, but no matter what is happening in your mind, keep saying the mantra and concentrate on it for as long as you can. And soon, I do believe you will find that the passage of time is no longer known by you. And it will become to feel as though you are adrift in the cosmic void. And though you might be frightened at first to be so alone in the cosmic void, then you will hear the sound of many, many voices. And they will all be saying, Un Yelima. And it will be the sound of the great cosmic brother. It will be all of us. It will be you, and you, and you, and myself. All saying the wonderful word of Un Yelima. Joining together with our hands and taking this wonderful message that we have to not only this place, but into the other place. And soon to the next one. And then after that, we will go to the world. And we will tell the world the secret, wonderful joy of Un Yelima. And the world will become ours. And we will rule the world under the mystical power of Un Yelima.
And I lived and blanked. I used to do blank for a living. And I used to believe in and then blank. And we'd have this thing and they'd... People would fill it in and it would sell for 98 cents and then they'd go out in their backyard or out in the meadow and dig a hole and bury it. And then 2,000 years from now with soil erosion, all these little time capsules would be sticking their little heads up and Margaret Mead's progeny would be coming around, picking them up, opening them, and they'd know all about us. Like, it might have something... Why should only banks and great big buildings have time capsules? If you're interested...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one. Just like the other one. You've been hanging on to it. And I sure would like a hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Listening to WAMH 89.3 Amherst.
Another one, just like the other one. That one's just about burned to the end. So come on and be a real friend. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to to me. Don't hold guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Everybody sing along this time.
Don't guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't guard that joint, my friend.
Just make me glad, and there comes a smile. When I am downhearted and don't know what to do, then the love of Jesus comes shining through. Jesus takes the crown and he turns it upside down. And there comes a smile.
Get down off the doctor. Here, come over here. Here, sit, sit.
Yes, good boy. Here's biscuit.
Well, Mr. Stromberg, there is a very good veterinarian down the hall.
Listen, listen, doctor. Don't misunderstand me. It's not that problem. The problem is his nose.
Well, I see that. However, Mr. Stromberg, I'm not going to get plastic incision.
No, 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 doctor. That's not the problem at all again. Listen very carefully. Ever since he was a little boy, everything he's finding around the house, he sticks up his nose. Everything that's laying around the house, up his nose it goes. He started out small, hoisted what maybe a piece of rice, a bean, a juju bean. Then he got bigger and bigger, a walnut, a peanut. Then he started on cherry. I'm coming home from work. I work hard. Let me tell you, doctor, I don't mind telling you I work hard, but not for me. For my wife, for my family, not one thought about me. Everything's for them. I'm coming home. I'm going in the kitchen, maybe have a little glass tea. And out in the alley, I'm hearing a noise. So I'm saying to myself, what's this noise? Could it be burglar? Yes, it could be burglar. So I'm getting my gun. Doctor, let me tell you, I don't like to carry gun. But today, you can't go out on the street without the Yankees and the Schwarzers getting you. So I'm looking at my gun. And I'm noticing inside my gun are no bullets. Where are the bullets, I'm asking myself? Where else? Up his nose. So we get the kid out of the bed, showing off the bullets are in his nose. How we gonna get him out? They're stuck in there. We can't get the bullets out. We give him whole Dr. Brown's cream soda. Stand him on his head. Shake him up and down. Nothing but foam all over. So, doctor, I'm coming to you. And
the trip, they never know when. The minute they drop one acid capsule or ingest it in any way, they bought the farm. They've lost any chance to depend on and even restore that most precious of all inner senses, judgment. And in my way of thinking, without judgment, you might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
We were talking about marijuana.
We still are. Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb. So don't you try to equate liquor with marijuana, mister. Not with me. You may sell that jazz to another pothead, but not to somebody who spends most of their time holding some sick kid's head while he vomits and retches sitting on a curbstone at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when his knees get enough starch back in him so he can stand up and empty his pockets, you can bet he'll turn out a stick or two of marijuana. And you can double your money. He'll be holding a sugar cube or a cap or two. So don't you con me with your mind expansion slop. I deal with kids every day. I try to clean up the mess that people like you make out of them. I'm the expert here. You're not.
Really? When's the last time you were asked to appear on television? How about radio? Had your picture in the newspapers lately? Now you better begin to understand this. You put that $400 a month brain of yours to work, Sergeant. I am the new way to go, the way of the future. I can't begin to fill all my personal appearance requests. I've been asked to make a phonograph record setting forth my philosophy. You want to bet what it sounds? I'm not just news, my friend. I make news, big news.
So did Judas.
John Turkey.
It means nothing, it means everything. It means whatever you want it to mean. You may have the devil lived in a country free society.
We'll be right back. about everybody who's ever given me. I'm no exception.
Shoes for industry, compadre.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, you guys, Holby.
Oh, gosh, no. The means of production are held by all the people.
That's right.
No, man. You
know, uppers? Uppers? No, there are no classes in our society. We're in our high school.
You can't speak it. Come on, baby.
All right, yeah, but soon, heavy industry will make it possible for all the people to have everything it desires in a free marketplace.
Oh, Daddy, oh, you guys are so amazing!
Townspeople gathered to bid a sad farewell to Oblio and Arrow. Now, everyone thought that banishment to the pointless forest was a bit excessive, but the law was the law, and the people were good, law-abiding citizens. Well, it was the first time anything like this had ever happened, and no one knew quite what else to do. So Oblio and Arrow set off for the pointless forest, where all things are pointless and nothing is pointy. By the way, the distance between the land of point and the pointless forest is directly proportional to the amount of time it takes to sing a song.
Good.
You beat a fat queer. Johnny, 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 why did you beat a fat queer? Well, I went into the trance I usually fall into when I watch the Budweiser clock spin around for about 2 hours. I was drinking Dickel Brothers Sour Mash, buddy, when all of a sudden my brain became sullied by images of vampires. So I thought I'd better get my old Corvette and wheel around the county courthouse a few times to clear my mind. Then I thought I'd go over to Mays Cafe for some coffee and lemon pie. Well, I peeled down the Straza, and all of a sudden I scarfed an eye load on a queer. I mean, I think he looked like a queer. God, I hate queers. God, I hate him, hate him. He had on penny loafers and a purple bell bottom. He had a huge protest button on that said, God bless him. Boy, that he is me, Oregon. But anyway, so I screeched a halt and I yelled out the window and I said, hey, faggot, what you doing to my town, buddy? That son of a bitch was ignoring my existence. Boy, I hate that.
Good evening,
so I leaped out on the floor
and we're going to try to do something new and different tonight with your help. And I underscore you. This is your chance to tell us what you think about what's happening in this country and what you're willing to do about it. We've got a series of questions for you and means to get your answer. Of thousands of them right under the air within seconds. We've never been able to do that. Nobody else can ever try.
Johnny.
A basic principle is that you concentrate, but without too much effort. In other words, you fix your attention on a series of ideas and hold them in your mind easily. In this manner, the ideas tend to flow about and circulate in your thinking pattern. Here is a test of the imagination, and with practice, you should be able to do it without my guidance. The beauty of it is that it has nothing to do with trances or any hocus pocus. Close your eyes. Now, if you tried to open your eyes at this moment, you'd be able to. So don't try as yet. Keep your eyes closed and imagine in your mind the number one. Keep picturing this number. Even if you can't visualize it, make believe you can. That's all that's necessary. Now gradually convert the number one into the number two. You're going to slowly count the visualization of the number five. All right, erase that number two. And now visualize, picture, imagine the number three and keep picturing that number. You see, when you get to five, you're going to cause your eyes to become, in a sense, seen. Primitively impossible. It will seem impossible to open. Erase the number three. Now visualize the number four. Now that you come to the number five, make it as large as you can in your mind's eye. You are now using your imagination. And since you are, you can seal your eyes as long as you picture the number five. While you may be able to raise your eyebrows, you can't open your lids as long as you imagine the number five. If you were to stop thinking of it, if you were to stop picturing it, you would be able to open your eyes. Keep holding that number five, and you'll find that you can't really raise your lids. Your attention, your imagination.
Alive and dead, one who was themselves betrayed me in fear, but they continued
anybody that wants to put order into the world, anybody that's got a brain that wants to put order into the world, they've got to stumble upon Hitler. When he starts putting order into the world, if he's not, it's overwhelming. He's too big for him. He couldn't do it.
Okay? And 20 years after the bullet went back, Charlie Manson is still the boss and still capable of conquering.
You might say I'm kind of like Satan. I'm in so many different places at once. Yeah, you do that, Satan. You're very sharp. The one person is you all the things that I'm going to have to do.
Open your book, and we'll start our story. And remember, when you hear the chime, turn the page. Howdy, folks, and welcome to Hazard County. For years and years, folks around these parts have been talking about something mighty interesting. Now, rumor has it that 30 years ago, bank robbers from upstate hid their stolen money, $50,000, somewhere in Hazard County. The bank robbers were caught, but the money was never found. Boss Hogg's ears perked up real fast when he got a call from his friend, the prison warden. It seems that the warden overheard the two convicts talking about where they had buried their treasure.
Do you
Boss
not
Hogg
believe your
could
mother?
Find the treasure, that he and the warden must split the money 50-50. There's only one little problem. The treasure is buried somewhere on Duke property. Bo and Luke won't take too kindly to Boss Hogg sneaking around. They ain't exactly what you would call the best of friends. Bo, Luke, and Daisy were helping Uncle Jesse.
And I'm sure she feels the same way. And she has made it very clear to me who she wants to live with. You know, even though this has all happened, my daughter still lives in a drug-infested environment. Still yet to this day.
Roger, you still use?
No, not at all.
Yes, sir. I think... Well, this is not an issue that we want to talk about.
Oh, but you also wouldn't know, would you, Sandra?
Excuse me.
You wouldn't know whether...
Yes, I would. Yes, he does.
Okay. Well,
and
Angie,
his daughter does
you
too.
Can give that your father that?
2 weeks prior to our court case, she found marijuana cigarettes in his cigarette package $100
bill.
On top of the refrigerator.
Of course,
made this
they knew they couldn't keep it. They would have to turn it over to Sheriff Coltrane. The following morning, when Boss Hogg showed up with a county permit to dig for water on Duke property, everybody smelled a rat. They figured Boss Hogg must have found out about the money buried on the property and had come a-looking for it. They smiled real polite-like and didn't let on that they knew what he was up to. You see, the Dukes had a little surprise for Boss Hogg.
Did she abuse you? Was there any behavior that she was engaged in that you thought had to be stopped and might be caused by drugs?
No.
No. Did her boyfriend abuse you?
No.
No. So you just saw the drugs and thought this would be damaging to her?
Changed out the dirt with her very own broom. Just did a vase that fell down and went boom.
Sorry, Mommy. Who did
Angelica, who helped your dad sleep to God's best friend? Flying up the bed.
Listen, Dennis, here's an idea that'll be fun. When I sing, "How much is that doggy in the window?" you fill in the spaces by making sounds like a puppy dog. Okay? How much is that doggy in the window? Wait a minute, Dennis. You're supposed to sound like a dog, not a cow.
I do want to make a point.
Okay, let's try it again. How much is that dog in the window? All right, you grasshoppers. Sing the song and let the kids make the dog sound.
Angelica.
Thank you.